Amen. Thank you, Matt. Turn to Psalm 23 in your Bibles. That's where we're going to spend the most of our time this morning. Or pull it up on your phone, whatever you do. And again, today, like I told you, we're going to look at Psalm 23. And I have special permission to talk a little bit about my wife, Andrea. And again, the sermon is not about Andrea. It's about God. It's about what He's done and what He continues to do in her life because she really believes. I'll never forget, I texted a friend one time and I said, hey, John, would you pray for me about this? And John said, when are you going to quit worrying about this, Irvin? And I texted back and I said, that's not at all why I asked you to pray. I asked you to pray because I believe in the power of prayer. Not because I'm worried about this situation, but I asked you to pray because I believe in the power of prayer. And I've entitled this sermon, My Cup Runneth Over. That's kind of the King James Version of verse 5, I think, if I remember right offhand, where it says, My cup overflows. And this is one of my wife's favorite sayings. Several times a week, she will say to me, or to someone else, my cup runneth over. She said it to me yesterday. Andrea has a t-shirt that someone gave her that says, my cup runneth over. Andrea has a coffee mug that someone gave her that says, my cup runneth over. And what she is saying is I'm overwhelmed with God's blessings. That's what she's saying. I am so blessed. But what is it about Andrea that allows her to live like this in a world where many are crying out, I'm so stressed. I'm so overwhelmed. Does she just repeat this slogan to herself over and over so she can stay positive? Kind of like the power of positive thinking. There's nothing wrong with thinking positive, amen. It's a lot better than thinking negative, amen. But what is it about her that allows her to live like this on a daily basis in a world that's so stressed out and so overwhelmed? What is it about her that when she says this, that she can say it from her heart? Whenever it comes out of her mouth, you can know that it's coming from the depths of her heart. Well, those of you who are close to her, those of you who know her well, know that it truly comes from her heart. But how does she do it? How does she live that way every day? Is she exempt from the struggles that the rest of us have? Is it because she has the perfect life? Is it because she has the perfect husband? Why are y'all laughing? Why are you laughing? Dude, that wasn't funny. Those of you who are close to me know that's not true. Amen? Then what is it that allows her to live a life overflowing with joy and peace while so many others are overwhelmed with stress? Well, I can assure you that Andrea does not have the perfect life. She's been through some brutal times in her life. She doesn't have perfect children, nor does she have the perfect husband. But I'm going to share with you this morning something she does have that many people lack in this life. And if you ever get this, it's a game changer. It will change your life. I'm going to share with you how her life remains peaceful when many people's lives are so stressful. I'm going to share with you how Andrea stays overjoyed when everybody else is overwhelmed. I'm going to share with you how she can exclaim, my cup runneth over, and mean it from the bottom of her heart while others are crying out, my anxiety runneth over, my burdens runneth over. Let's look at Psalm 23. Now David wrote this psalm, and he begins by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Don't miss that. Don't miss the personal way that he's saying, the Lord is my personal good shepherd, I shall not want. One translation says, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's super important. We'll get to that later. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkest times of life, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows, or my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now notice in verse 1, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But then in verse 5, he says, my cup overflows. What is he talking about? What is his cup? He's talking about his life. His cup represents his life. He says, my life is overflowing. He's saying, I'm not overwhelmed, I'm overflowing, because the Lord my God, my good shepherd, is the source for everything I need in this life, which leads us to point number one this morning. David has an overflowing sense of peace, hope, and joy because he really believes that his personal good shepherd, God Almighty, is his personal source for all of life. Look at what the Bible says in John 7:38 in your notes. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, what's interesting here is the Greek word that's used here for the word believe means to. You might want to write this down. This is really important. The Greek word that's used here for the word believe means to trust in. It means to rely on. It means to depend on, and it means to cling to. That's what the word actually means. It means to trust in, rely on, depend on, and cling to. Not just, listen to me closely, not just acknowledge God, but to really believe to the point that you trust in him, you rely on him, you depend on him, and you literally cling to him. And so the reason that Andrea, the reason that her cup overflows with joy, thanksgiving, hope, and peace when others are overwhelmed with stress, anxiety, and worry is because, like David, she relies on her Lord to supply all of her needs. In fact, she literally clings to him and his word every day of her life. She literally starts every day of her life clinging to her Lord and to his word. And you see, Andrea, like David, doesn't just acknowledge the Lord on Sunday and then rely on herself Monday through Saturday to meet all of her needs. She doesn't just believe stuff about God and then trust in her money or her talent to provide for her throughout the week, for her and her family. She really believes that the Lord God, like David does here, is her personal good shepherd that loves her, protects her, and provides for everything she needs in this life. Put another way, Andrea doesn't just claim to believe and then depend on her own wisdom and her own strength. She doesn't just claim to believe in God and then go out, listen to me closely, independently of God to provide for herself and her family throughout the week. In fact, that leads to an empty cup. That leads to an empty life. It leads to an overwhelmed life. It leads to a stressed out life instead of an overflowing life. Instead, Andrea goes about her day. Don't miss this. Prayerfully and carefully listening to and following God's lead after having been and clung to His Word. Look at Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. The Bible says He makes me to lie down. The Lord needs to make some of you lie down, amen? Because you don't know how to rest, amen? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Underline that phrase, He leads me. He restores my soul. Underline that phrase. He guides me. Underline that. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Double underline that. Because that's super important that you understand that all the things that God is doing, and by the way, He's doing it all in Psalm 23 according to David, right? How much of what's going on is David doing it? Zero, right? The Lord's doing it all, and He's doing it all for His name's sake. And so just like David, Andrea really believes that God restores her soul every morning when she reads her Bible and has her prayer time. And she really believes that after having been with God and allowing Him to restore her soul, that He leads her and guides her throughout her day for His name's sake, for His glory. Now, sometimes people will ask me, Pastor, why does God want all the glory? Why does God need all the glory? I mean, is He insecure? Is he needy? What is it with God that He needs all the glory? And the answer is, God doesn't need anything, especially from you and I. And the last thing that God is insecure. The reason God wants all the glory is because He knows you can't handle it. The reason God wants all the glory is because He knows I can't handle it. You see, when we get the glory, we become arrogant. We start thinking we're self-sufficient. We start thinking we don't need others. We start thinking that we have life by the tail, so to speak, and we forget several things. These are very important. We forget about all the love. This is perfect for Mother's Day. We have resources and all the sweat that other people have invested to get us where we're at. And worse yet, we forget God. We forget that our personal good shepherd has given us everything we need for life. And if we get enough glory, we start seeing ourselves as a really big deal. And the Bible calls that idolatry. The Bible says God hates idolatry. Bottom line, the more glory we receive, the bigger our heads get. And the bigger our heads get, the smaller our hearts get. And that's why God hates arrogance. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31 in your notes, whether then you eat or you drink, I don't care what it is, God says, but whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:3, one of the reasons, by the way, I believe in prayer so much is because I believe in prayer not to get what I want, but to keep me from getting what I want and get what God wants. That's why I believe in prayer. That's why prayer is so important. God, don't let me get off over here. And I have a tendency to do that every day. God, don't take your staff with that hook on the end of it and bring me back to where I need to be. And God does that through His Word and through prayer. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So how did Andrea and David get there? How did they get to the point to where they really believe, really depend on, really commit their way to, and really cling to the Lord on a daily basis? Which leads us to point number two. Number one, David has an overflowing sense of peace, hope, and joy because he really believes that his good shepherd, his personal good shepherd, God Almighty, is his source for all of life. In fact, just bow your heads with me for one moment. Bow your heads with me for one moment. Maybe today you want to just ask God, God, would you show me what it means to really believe? I just want to ask you right now. I want to know what it means to really believe. Teach me what it means to really love you and be loved by you. And number two in your notes, David, like Andrea, really believes in his good shepherd because he stays really close to him. David, like Andrea, really, he doesn't just acknowledge him on Sundays or Wednesday nights. David, like Andrea, really believes in his good shepherd because he stays really close to him. One of the things I really admire about Andrea is that she spends a lot more energy and time learning to love God. Listen to me very closely. One of the things I really admire about her is she spends a lot more time and energy learning to love God and love others than trying to figure God out. And that's biblical. 1 Corinthians 13, you can have all knowledge, but if you have not love, you are nothing. Amen? Spend the majority of your time learning to love God and love other people, instead of spending the majority of your time trying to figure God out. You'll get there one day when Jesus comes back. Amen? But sometimes we get so caught up into trying to become these theological giants. And the Bible warns about this over and over and over again, that we're constantly arguing with each other over theology. And the Bible says it's hurtful to the family of God. I love what one great theologian said. In his older age, he said, I have spent my life writing about and preaching about the grace of God, and God showed me I lacked grace. I needed to spend more time showing people the grace of God. And this guy's got more books, and he's a great theologian. But in his latter senior adult years, the Lord showed him, quit spending all your time trying to figure me out and just obey my word. Love me and love other people, because when you do that, everything else will be taken care of. Psalm 23, 1 through 6, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. How many of you could use that in your life right now? Amen? In the world we live in right now. He guides me regardless of my circumstances. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest of times, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who's doing all the work in Psalm 23? The good shepherd is, right? He's providing everything the sheep need. And by the way, we're the sheep, according to Scripture. He's providing everything the sheep need as long as the sheep stay in the fold, as long as they continue to follow him and obey his word and not wander off. The good shepherd is making them lie down when they need to lie down. He's leading them. He's restoring them. He's guiding them. He's protecting them with his rod from their enemies. He's protecting them with his staff from wandering off. He comforts them with his rod and his staff. He's providing for them in the presence of their enemies, comforting and protecting them with oil. Oil was used for several things. It was used for healing. It was used for comfort. It was used for honoring a person. And it was used for protecting the sheep. There were adders that lived in holes, and they would come up out of the holes when a sheep got too close to their hole, and these poisonous snakes would bite the sheep on the nose, and so the good shepherd would bathe the nose with oil, and that would keep the adder down in the hole. And he's with them all the time, caring for them through the dark times, through the difficult times, watching over them all the days of their lives. Bottom line, Psalm 23 tells us that the good shepherd is the source for everything we need in this life. And so David, like Andrea, lived each day in the presence of his good shepherd. In fact, David, just like Andrea, believed so much in the protection and provision of his personal good shepherd that he sought to obey his every word. Look at point number three. David, like Andrea, overflows with the blessings of God because he obeys all of his commands. He overflows with the blessings of God because he obeys all of his commands. The Bible says in Isaiah 48 there in your notes, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you. Underline that. Who directs you in the way you should go. Underline that. And if you had only paid attention to my commands, this is what God says. If you'd only paid attention to my commands, your peace would have overflowed like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. And then in Psalm 19, 1 through 2, David says, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord, and how blessed are those who observe his testimonies. Listen to this. And those who seek him with all their heart. My wife seeks God with all of her heart. And the Lord says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the earth so that he may strongly support those whose hearts are fully committed. 9 through 11, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all of my heart, David says, I've sought you. Do not let me. This is his prayer to God. Do not let me, God, wander from your commandments. Your word I've treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Those are the words of David, but they're also the testimony of Andrea. And like David, she truly believes in the goodness of God and the word of God. And regardless of what comes, listen to this very closely. Do not miss this point. Regardless of what comes into her life, she is convinced that God is good all of the time. She is convinced, she's made up her mind once and for all that God is good all of the time, and God's word is the absolute truth about everything in life, regardless of whether her circumstances are good and bad. Amen. Let me show you something real quick. Look at me. Act like I'm your worst nightmare. I mean, just for a moment. Don't do this on a regular basis, but act like I'm your worst circumstance right now. What do you see behind me? The cross, some child said. Amen. Praise the Lord, whatever he said. But when he looks up here and he sees his worst circumstance, he always sees the cross in the backdrop. And that's how Andrea looks at life. When she looks at overwhelming circumstances, she always sees the cross. And Jesus, once and for all, settled in her life because of what he did on the cross. That he loves her so much that he couldn't bear the thought of spending eternity without her. And so for Andrea, whether God is good or not was settled right here, once and for all in her life. And she really and truly believes in the goodness of God. And when you become convinced of God's goodness once and for all in your life because of the cross, and when you decide once and for all that the Word of God is the absolute truth that is to be obeyed regardless of your circumstances, it will forever change your life. But whenever you start doubting the goodness of God, and most of the time we do that because of our circumstances, because we're not focused on the cross. Whenever you start doubting the goodness of God, you need to understand you're headed for trouble. Because when you doubt the goodness of God, you also doubt the Word of God. And when you doubt the Word of God, you start to worry. And when you start to worry, you start to wander. You start to wander off in a direction that God never intended for your life, and that leads to all kinds of problems and all kinds of stress. In fact, we live in a culture right now where people are trying to come up with all kinds of different interpretations now for God's Word to fit their lifestyle. But I'm telling you, when you start to doubt the goodness of God, you will then doubt the Word of God. And when you doubt the Word of God, your life will be flooded with worry and you'll wander off somewhere else. And that will bring you all kinds of problems and all kinds of stress. And when you start doing your own thing, wandering away from God and what His Word teaches, you take yourself out from under His protection and you take yourself away from His blessings. But God says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. And if you'd only paid attention to my commands instead of going your own way, if you'd only paid attention to my commands, your peace would have overflowed like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. But when you decide to move away from God's Word and do your own thing, you're making a fatal mistake. And your mistake is thinking you know what's going to make you happy. You're God's child. When your children were little, did they ever think they knew what would make them happy? And you had to say, uh-uh. You can't eat candy all day. You can't play in the street all day. I had to learn the hard way. My dad said, Chris, don't play in the street. Chris, don't play in the street. Chris, don't play in the street. Until I got ran over by a guy on a motorcycle. 4 knee surgeries later, I didn't play in the street anymore. We think we know what's going to make us happy. But when we get away from God's Word, you need to understand you are leading yourself into a life that's overworked, overwhelmed, overstressed, overanxious, instead of overflowing. Jesus said this in closing, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, in other words, he who remains in me, he who remains attached to me, clings to me, makes his home in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Do you need any of those in your life? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branch. He who abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch that's broken off from the vine, a branch that's broken off from the tree, and he dries up. And they will gather those branches and they will cast them into the fire and they are burned. And so at my house, I have a big fire pit out back with big giant rocks around it that everybody sits on. And between two of those rocks, you see a bunch of branches that have broken off and fallen off trees. And I break them up, and I gather them up, and I pile them up between those two big rocks because they're going to go in the fire, and they're going to get burned up. But if you abide in me, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And Jesus said in John 10:10, this is the Amplified version, I have come that you may have real life and that you may have life in abundance to the fullest until it overflows. I want to end with one One thing that one man said, one author said, he said, the great agitation in the world of today makes it more and more urgent to gain inner strength in those quiet encounters with Christ that make it possible for us to remain under his rule and authority. Situated as we are in a world that's so terribly unpeaceful, we need constant nourishment for our inner soul, our inner life. In short, if we want to avoid shipwreck, if we want to avoid inward shipwreck in the storm of public opinion and chaos, then our hidden inner being needs daily the quiet haven of communion with God. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your word, and what a blessing it is to have your word and to have your truth. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're watching today and you would like to believe God's truth about your life, about your sin, and your need to be saved. God himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to live a perfect life and die in your place for the payment of your sins. So maybe today you'd like to quit trying to earn your way to heaven or hope you're going to get there one day and accept God's free gift of eternal life by placing your faith in his one and only Son, his one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. If so, you might want to repeat a prayer somewhat like this, and these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize that you are God in the flesh. You're the Son of God, and you're the Savior of the world. And you came to this earth to die on that cross for me because you loved me, so that once and for all, I could live life as you want me to live life. I can live under your protection and in the middle of your blessings, even though this world is a difficult world. And so today I want to put my trust in you. I want to put my trust in who you are, the Son of God, God himself in the flesh, and I want to put my trust in what you did, your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. And so I confess to you that I'm a sinner in need of your mercy and your forgiveness. And today I'm asking for your mercy and your forgiveness. I'm asking for your power to turn from my sins and your grace to submit to your authority. And forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life. Forgive me for rejecting you all this time. I'm ready for you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I'm ready to really believe. I'm ready to start living for you and allowing your word to make its home in my life. And I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins, and make me a child of God. Maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching online today, and you might want to say a prayer of rededication somewhat like this. Heavenly Father, help me for all how good you are, and that you proved it in your sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for my sins. You proved it once and for all. And help me to draw a line in the sand and step over it into the full belief, the full faith that you're a good God, that you're a good shepherd that provides for all my needs. And forgive me for living according to the ways of the world instead of living according to your word. Forgive me when I tend to revert back to trusting more in myself and more in my stuff that you've provided for me than trusting in you. And I pray that you'd show me the areas of my life where my heart is far from you. Help me to learn to really believe, to really rely on, really commit my way to you, and to learn to cling to you each and every day. And teach me what it looks like to be restored, by you every morning. And then to go through my day trusting in your goodness and trusting in your word. Teach me what it looks like to abide in you and have your word abide in me. I'm really tired I'm really tired of this overwhelming life. Show me how to live an overflowing life, filled with your peace, filled with your joy, and filled with your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, I want you to know that if you said that prayer